I'm going to talk about the epistle tomorrow. It's really quite striking. So I want to tell you something about the gospel that we'll read tomorrow, which is about the 10 lepers. Now, there's some subtle lessons in here that really, to me, are quite powerful. Actually, I find subtle lessons to be more powerful than the ones that are right out there. Because I think that when you see a subtle lesson, that means that God is speaking to your heart in a very intimate way. Now, there's obvious things, like if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know what that means. But the subtle things in the scripture are the things that I truly love to understand and to talk about, to be honest with you. So, the obvious part of this gospel is that there were 10 lepers, and only one gave thanks. But there's some subtle things that I think are more important to understand. So, he's going to a certain village, and there are these 10 lepers, and they lift up their voices and they say basically the Jesus prayer, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then we know that they fell down before him, they asked to be cleansed, they were all cleansed, they were all told to go and do the proper ablutions and tell the priest about their cleansing, and only one turned back to give thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So the Lord asked this question about, were there not 10? Where are the 9? But then he says something that's very important, and it's connected in my mind, at least in my experience, and I know it's the experience of the church because I read the Neptic Fathers and I can feel the spirit in them, that the connection is between the Jesus prayer, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me, sort of in germinal form there. We don't say it that way, but that's one of the ways that it was said in the scripture. He says to the Samaritan, and arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So he prayed, and his faith made him well. Now, I pray, but my faith has not really made me completely well yet. There's still things in me that are not well. I don't say this out of disbelief or out of discontent. It's a fact that there are things that I want to be well, and I pray the Lord that they would be well in me or in those I love, in those that I pastor, but they're not well yet. This is actually gives me great hope. Because the Lord said to that Samaritan who prayed, your faith made you well. I think that the gospel stories are sort of life in microcosm. I always see them as sort of a compressed version of our entire life. And there's lots of examples there. For instance, like when the disciples say to the Lord, we fished all night, we haven't caught anything. That's talking about patience throughout your entire life. Or when Jairus was saying, heal my daughter. Somebody says, the daughter's dead. And he says, believe. And they're walking there. Probably only took, who knows, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And that is a microcosm. That's really talking about our entire life. We have to have this kind of faith and believe the Lord's promise. Now, it's probably not too hard to believe the Lord's promise if it took 20 minutes or even 20 days. But what about 20 weeks, 20 months, 20 years? So there's no time limit that the Lord gives us for when our faith will make us well. But I believe with all of my heart that my faith will make me well and will make those that I pray for well. Otherwise, I think I couldn't claim to be a Christian. Now, I have times when my emotions talk to me and say, you know, nothing's really happening here. And when I'm tired and when I'm a little down about the way things are going, but overall, because I am a Christian, because you are too, we should have this attitude that our faith is going to make us well. So this story is here giving us people in a hopeless condition and how their prayer was answered by the Lord. Now, don't pay any attention to the fact that he answered their prayer immediately. That's not an important detail. In fact, you should sort of forget that detail. Because in our life, very often, the Lord does not answer immediately. And you could even say that in the case of the lepers, he didn't, because they had spent years as outcast and considered to be cursed by God, by their own people, considered to be unclean, no one would touch them. Probably most people wouldn't even talk to them. And then they asked the Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, probably many, many times. And then he cures them right then and there. So although the cure took place immediately after they asked him explicitly, they still had a long wait. We have a long wait too. So we must say the Jesus prayer with expectation. The older I get, the more I think that all I want to do is teach my flock and learn myself to pray with expectation and with constancy, never letting up. Always with belief, with hope. If you understand what hope is, it's not wishing. Hope is waiting for what is going to occur, that the Lord will heal me. So that's what the subtle thing that I see in this gospel and many other gospels, when there is a plea, and then there's sort of a interim period, and then the Lord answers the plea. It's very obvious in Jairus, for instance, but here, the interim period was before the plea. But you don't need to pay attention to before or after. The Lord says he'll heal us. Now the question is, what is your faith? And I think we see a real important lesson about faith here. And it's in the Samaritan, the one out of the 10. The Lord asked this question. And the reason he asked this question is because he wants to tell us and preserve for everyone to hear how amazingly incredible it is that a man could be healed and not give thanks to God. This is unthinkable. He's acting surprised. Of course, as the Lord, he's not surprised. But we should never surprise the Lord like this, so to speak. We're not 10 cleansed. But where are the 9? So when the Lord heals you, something has got to change. So you could say that it's a teaching that we must give thanks for the Lord's blessings. I think it's a whole lot more than that. It is that, what are we in the business of doing right now? Why are we drawing breath right now? What should be your goal today or even this minute? Do you want to change? Do you want to be a different person? We're supposed to be like Christ. I look at myself and I don't look like Christ at all. And I love my flock, but none of you do either. So the whole point of drawing in another breath and saying another prayer and reading another psalm and being kind to another person is to change, for the soul to change, to be molded, to be like Christ. If God gives you a blessing and you don't change, you might as well have just eaten a hot dog. It doesn't do anything for you if you don't react to God's grace and His mercy. Not just by giving thanks, but by becoming a different person. This is what the gospel tells me. I don't want to be those other 9. I don't want any of you to be those other 9 either. I want you to be the one out of 10 that is constantly receiving God's grace and doing something with it. Changing because of it. Not just giving thanks to God, but learning to love your fellow man. To be more humble. To be more compassionate. To be more empathetic and to see things that are amiss. And inserting yourself in those things because of your zeal. And making changes. That's what this gospel is telling you you've got to be doing. We don't want the Lord asking a question like that. Saying, well, I gave you all this grace and what did you do with it? We don't want that question asked. We want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want Him to look at us and say, I know you. You're just like me. So that's the whole purpose of our life, to become like Him. And so we have two sort of subtle things in this teaching, in this event, in this healing. One is that the Jesus prayer must be said a lot and continually with power, with effort, with desire, with belief. And there will come a time, many times actually, because there'll be many healings, when the Lord will say, your faith has made you well. But that faith is not just consistency in the Jesus prayer and in prayer in general, but it's also that when the Lord gives you of Himself, you become something other than you were. You always must change when God's grace visits you. Always. We cannot stay the same. Staying the same is regressing. There is no staying the same in the Christian life. You either go forwards or backwards. And we live in an age when there is so much distraction and there is so much emphasis on the now and also on our future taking care of ourselves, that even among Christians, they forget that each day is to become a different person, to become a person that is more like Christ, to take that healing and to not take the road that those other nine are taking, where they're just going along and doing their things. They're not bad people. They might pray, they might fast, but there's not that pain in their heart that makes them want to change. That's what you need. Now I'm going to make a political comment. I've been thinking about this a lot, sort of a veiled political comment. But after we had those terrible shootings that occurred in California, I heard solutions that were given by left and right that were political solutions. Some of them I thought were quite crazy in terms of they were not solutions that would work at all. But regardless whether it was an opinion about a political solution that I thought had any possibility of going the right direction or not, no political solution fixes man being inhuman to other inhumane to other men. No political solution fixes hate and bigotry and racism and zealotry for killing. No solution fixes that. No political solution. Nobody suggested that man's heart must change if we are to be free of mass murders in our country and in the world. Nobody suggested that. That's the only thing that will bring about peace. All the other political solutions, if you read your history, none of them work for lasting peace. Not one. There's only one way to have peace. And I don't think it will be in this world. But it could be in our heart. And then it's eternal peace. And that is that when God's grace visits you, you become different. You become better in some way. If we had that kind of society, then we wouldn't have mass killings and all of the unrest that we have here and abroad. That's the only solution that will work. And not one politician even remotely mentioned it. But we're Christians. We must understand it. We must change every time God's grace visits us. And since God's grace visits us all the time, that must mean we must be changing all the time. So may God help us to have our faith make us well. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.